Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's fourth quarter 2013 results conference call. Today with us, we have Mr. Gianfranco Truffolo, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star and then zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect their future results of Arauco and could cause the results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now I'll turn the conference call over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffolo, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, please begin your conference.
Okay, thanks, and welcome to this first conference call of 2014, where we're going to be reviewing the results of the fourth quarter of 2013. As usual, on page three, we have the agenda for this conference call. We will start with a financial review of the numbers of the company, and we will review the last quarter and the whole year 2013. Then we will go a little deeper into each business segment, and we will share with you the results of the fourth quarter and also some outlook of the current market environment. And lastly, we will have some fourth quarter and subsequent events and a round of Q&A, as usual. On page four, we have a snapshot of the results of the full 2013 year. Before going to the numbers, let me clarify first that we have a change in the way we account for results this year because we have a new rule of IFRS rule number 11, where we need to include the proportional consolidation of our interest in Montes del Plata joint venture. So now we are included in the balance sheet and all the lines on the results, the 50% of the numbers of Montes del Plata. This wasn't done that way the third quarter, and now we are showing numbers at the end of the year and also at the end of year 2012 with the consolidation of the Montes del Plata. So in the analysis, we're going to show you some numbers are not comparable with the third quarter, and some just numbers of the quarter are not very comparable. With this in mind, we can tell you that the fiscal year 2013 gave us revenues for $5.1 billion. That is almost 20% higher than 2012. Our adjusted EBITDA was $1,143 million, 32% higher than 2012. Our net income was $418 million. That is almost 200% higher than 2012. Our net financial debt stood at $4.3 billion. That is 2% lower than 2012. Again, this number now is showing half of the debt of Montes del Plata, which wasn't the case for the net financial debt of September 2013. Our CapEx, again, including the CapEx of Montes del Plata, was $864 million, which is 37% lower than the amount we spent in the year 2012. If we move to page five to see more detail of the income statement, in this case, we are showing the quarter of the last quarter of 2013. We can show that the result, the net income was $46 million, which is a decrease of 60% compared to the $117 million obtained in the third quarter. In terms of revenue, where we see a 5% decrease, it's mainly explained by lower revenue for pulp panels and some timber. The main issue here is a reduction in the production of the Nueva Aldea mill, which I'm going to explain a little bit later on, that basically was caused by some problems at the startup after the normal maintenance of the mill that took some production off during the month of October and a little bit of November. In terms of cost of sales, they decreased 5%. basically explained by lower volume of sales. Other non-operating income, we see an increase of 33%. This is basically explained by a sale of non-core assets in Montes del Plata. We sold some pine plantations that we had, and we got an income in the sale of those pine plantations that were not going to be used by the projects of Montes del Plata. In the line of other operating gain and expenses, in this case an expense, we are recording a provision of the closing of the CDE lawsuit regarding the Valdivia mill that started 8 years ago. We got a conclusion of that process by getting an agreement with the Consejo de Defensa del Estado, the National Defense Council. We agreed to pay almost $10 million to close down the whole process, and that amount is provisioned in the results in that line. If we go to other things like financial costs, they are basically stable at $56 million. In terms of EBITDA, the EBITDA decreased $77 million, which is 24% compared to the third quarter. Again, the explanation of this decrease is basically explained by lower production in our Nueva Aldea mill because of the problems that I already told you about, and a lot some other normal maintenance that were more concentrated in the fourth quarter. So we have a reduction of $77 million in that line. If we go to page 6, the cash flow, if we compare now the full year, in this case it's a little bit difficult to compare cash flows because we don't have balance sheets at September consolidated with Montes del Plata. That's why we're showing the full year comparison of 2013. We can see that the cash from operating activities is $455 million bigger than last year. This is explained by increasing revenues. The cash from investing activities decreased $650 million. The explanation for this is twofold. First of all, we have a restricted CapEx program in 2013. In 2012, remember, we had some acquisitions and a higher CapEx program in Arauco. And also, since it consolidates the Montes del Plata, most of the CapEx of Montes del Plata was done in the year 2012. So, and also, 2012 includes the acquisition from Flakeboard and Moncur. So it's a big reduction from $1.4 billion to $860 million in CapEx. In terms of financing, the thing to talk here is a reduction in the amount of long-term financing issued. In 2012, we issued almost $900 million in long-term financing, and we only did $300 million in 2012. So we see a reduction in the net debt at the end of the year. So the cash and cash equivalent at the end of the year is $670 million, which is 40% higher than the end of year 2012. In terms of dividends, we see a little bit of reduction, 30% from $200 million to $140 million, basically explained by the lower dividends paid in 2013 because of we were paying dividends from the year 2012 where results were much lower. In page 7, we can take a look at the detail of the net financial debt. Including Montes del Plata, our net financial debt is $4.3 billion. It's a small reduction from 2012. Montes del Plata here, the 50% share of Montes del Plata is $723 million in 2013 and $555 in 2012. Basically, the Montes del Plata debt is the amount issued with the ECAs, Finbera, and the IDB to finance the construction of the mill, which is $1.3 billion, and all some other medium-term forestry financing debt that is issued directly in Montes del Plata. So we are recognizing half of that in 723. From that amount, we are guaranteeing an amount about $670 million guaranteed by Arauco and the same amount guaranteed by Storenso. If we look at the financial debt profile, we can see that we have 893 million dollars of debt maturing in 2014. That short-term debt is divided in $300 million in pre-export financing that we roll over every 90 days, more or less. We have a $200 million bank loan due in December. We have $125 million that are related to debt consolidated from MDP and some other small debt that amounts to that number. In terms of leverage, we show in the bottom right side of the slide the leverage that was 5.2 in 2012, that is considering Montes del Plata. This is the, if we take out Montes del Plata, is the 4.6 times that we showed in the financial statements last year where we weren't considering Montes del Plata. Those amounts go down to 3.8 considering Montes del Plata and 3.26 not considering Montes del Plata. So the number that we showed on September, which was 3.1, goes a little bit higher to 3.26. The main reason for that is a lower EBITDA for the quarter because of the problems of production in Nueva Aldea, and also that during the fourth quarter we paid dividends of $75 million as anticipation of dividends of 2014. So that reduced our free cash flow, and that made a small increment in the leverage from 3.1 to 3.26. With a normal operation of the mill and during the year, we should be able to continue with the reduction of the leverage in the company. Page 8, we have some ratios showing the quarters. We have taken out the ones that are not comparable, basically the ones that are related to the asset base, because it's different the fourth quarter and the third quarter because of the consolidation. So you can see that, for example, in the gross margin, there's a margin of 30.7%, which is very similar to the one obtained in the third quarter. Operating margin is a little bit lower. And adjusted EBITDA margin is 22.2% instead of 23%, but that's better than a year ago. In terms of leverage, as I told you, we cannot compare third quarter and fourth quarter because they are without consolidation. That's why we're showing only the ones compared to a year ago. Now, if we go to slide number 10, we can review a little bit about the business segment of pulp, starting with pulp. The sales of pulp went down 6.7% quarter over quarter. We had an increase in price of 4.2%, but a reduction in volume of 11%. And that is related to normal maintenance of four mills during the quarter and the maintenance of Nueva Aldea that had problems when they start producing again. We had some problem with some pipes in the recovery boiler that we need to stop for a week or so. And then we had a little bit of leakage in one of the pipelines going with the water going to the sea that we need to stop again, and that took out about 70,000 tons of production that reduced the production and our sales, of course. That problem was resolved in October and the beginning of November, and then the mill is producing without any problems at this moment and since then. So that's why it's the main explanation for reduction in sales, and also impacted the unitary cost of pulp because of the lower production. Despite the lower production in the fourth quarter, we had a very good fiscal year 2013. We produced 3,080,000 tons, which is higher than the one that we obtained in 2012. So we were having record productions quarter by quarter during the year, and then we had this problem in Nualdea, which is already resolved. So we expect to have very good production during the year 2014. In terms of demand, the demand was stable across regions, and we were able to achieve price increases, especially in long fiber, due to lower global supplies. Global inventories were stable in long fiber and decreased a little bit in short fiber. Europe continues to be difficult, but again, we were able to increase long fiber, which is still our main product in terms of pulp. Right now, we are producing probably 70% of our pulp in softwood and only 30% in hardwood. That's going to change with the startup of Montes del Plata, and we'll be moving to probably 60% softwood and 40% hardwood. We had in China prices increases in long fiber and some small decreases, let's say around 2% in short fiber. You can see the production quarter by quarter there on that table. We were roughly in the 800,000 level, and we only did 670,000 in fourth quarter 2015. Now, if we go to page 11 and look a little bit about the outlook, we think that first quarter should be good in terms of margins, especially because of the long fiber. We are not right now with quite good prices for our main product. But we expect that we could have some slowdown that usually begins in May in the northern hemisphere as the summer begins and some slowdown in the demand appears. As we enter second half, we could face some short fiber oversupply. Of course, you know about the Marañao project already started up, and our project is starting also, so we're going to be facing some oversupply probably in the second half of the year. Long fiber could be affected by the situation in Europe and some oversupply of short fiber, but to a much lesser extent. I mean, the right now the gap between long fiber and short fiber is about $130, and so we could face some reduction in prices in long fiber through the year as short fiber goes down, but we're starting from a higher ground. Probably the prices are in the levels of $740, $750 per ton net on long fiber, so any reduction at least comes from a higher base than the short fiber. You can see the global inventory levels over there. In terms of softwood, it's very normal, about 30 days. The BHKP is about 40 days supply. In terms of the panel business, here we had a sales that were 5.6% lower than last quarter, but 12% higher than a year ago. And the main explanation for that is a reduction in volume, especially in MDF and particle board. We had some reduction in our North American market. It's a seasonality effect. I mean, every year there's less sales during the Christmas time and December, and also we had some effects of the bad weather in especially in the East Coast that affected logistics and sales of panels. The average panel price remained stable, small 1% dip. However, price levels were higher in almost 6% compared to a year ago. The growth in sales in MDF, particle board, and hardwood is explained basically by the acquisition that we have done in our panel operations in North America. Remember that the Flake Board acquisition was done at the September 2012. So we had a full year 2013 of operations compared with the other markets. And also we had some more volume coming from the Teno mill in Chile and the Yaguaraíba line 2 in Brazil. In terms of outlook for panels, for the same reason of the bad weather in the U.S., the polar vortex, we had a challenging beginning of 2014. We had some problems with deliveries, not a lot, but we're expecting a brighter outlook for the second quarter in terms of demand is there, and prices in the U.S. have been stable. So we could have also a potential increase in March and April. So we're optimistic of the end of the year. We just had a little bit less volume sales because of the bad weather, especially in the East Coast of the U.S. Panel business in Brazil has been slow in January, especially in February, but we expect increases in volume. The demand has been increasing at about 15% a year, and so we expect to have a good market, even with some decrease in the growing of Brazil. In Argentina, there's a lot of uncertainty, but our prices and margins are very good. One reason for that is that the it's a closed economy, so you don't face a lot of competition from importers, but so we are facing good results over there. We have been able to increase prices to offset the inflation effects. A thing that impacted sales, especially from export coming from Chile, was a strike in Chilean ports in January 2013 that delayed some invoicing in panels and also in pulp and in some timber. We lost sales of some tons and cubic meters of panels and pulp. That of course is only invoicing that moves to the second quarter and can be recovered quite easily as the chain of distribution normalizes. But we had about 15 days of strikes in the Chilean ports in January that affected not only us but also other exporters in Chile. If you go to some timber, here the situation is quite stable. Net sales only were reduced 1.5%, which is basically a small reduction in price, but some increase in volume. Year over year, we're still 4% ahead. Here, we had a little bit lower prices, but real estate and construction sectors continue to increase. I mean, the housing starts have been behaving quite well on average, and we feel that this is a continuous market that's going to be improving through the year and probably the coming years as the housing market in the U.S. recovers in the coming days and the year. In terms of production, quite stable through the quarters. We made the same production of last quarter, 733,000 cubic meters. In terms of outlook for the sawn timber, we expect strong demand, good margins in most of the markets. We should be able to catch up during the coming month of the strikes in the ports in the Chilean port that we had in terms of invoicing, so we don't see a problem over there. And the important markets for our sawn timber products, such as China, Korea, New Zealand, Middle East, are currently very active, strong demand, and the New Zealand high log prices are pushing Chinese prices up also. So we are very optimistic with the results and margins we're getting from the sawn timber division for this year. In terms of housing start, almost 1 million new houses on a yearly basis, with a upward trend amount, sometimes comes below, other above, but you can see the trend from the crisis is continuously evolving to be above 1 million houses a year. Now, finally, if we go to the fourth quarter and subsequent events, in slide 17, we were able to start the mill in the plywood mill in Nualdea, the one that got destroyed by the fire a year ago, in January 2012, almost 2 years ago, sorry. It's ready, already producing from the beginning of the year. It was an investment of $190 million. This was mostly all covered by the insurance company that paid for the forest, sorry, for the fire. And it will have it has 350,000 cubic meters of capacity. Two lines. Line one is already producing and line two is almost starting in right now. So we're very happy to have this mill operating again. In terms of Montes del Plata, we are approximately 98% completion. We are doing our best effort to get to the deadline of starting at the end of this month. We are almost ready to present the environmental approval of operations that has to be obtained from DINAMA, which is the environmental authority in Uruguay. This is a thing that every mill has to comply in Uruguay. We have all the papers almost presented. All the machines are tested, and we expect to have it very soon and to be able to start the machines. We're trying to do it at the end of the month. We hope that we can get it, and that everything is almost completed, just waiting for the final approval of operations for the mill. In page 18, we announced during the summer here in Chile in January that we signed an agreement to acquire three mills from Sierra Pine in the United States. These are two particle board mills and one MDF mills located in the west coast of the U.S. in California and Oregon. This is an agreement to pay $170 million for the assets plus up to $13 million in inventories. We are buying not the companies, only the assets. And at this moment, we're waiting for the antitrust approval that should come very soon in order to close the deal, pay down, and take the mills under our administration. This is a very good acquisition in terms of price. The capacity that we're going to get is about 600,000 cubic meters. That with that capacity, we will be able to be about 3.6 million cubic meters only in the U.S., being the leader in the U.S. in production of composite panels. In terms of the approval of the MAPA project, during the summer also we got the final approval, environmental approval for the MAPA project in Chile. Remember, this is a new line of production in the Horcones complex, where we have already two lines of production of pulp, line 1 and line 2 of Arauco. The idea is to build a third line and close down line 1. The authorization for the new line is for a 1.5 million tons of eucalyptus, and the idea is to shut down the line 1 of Arauco, which is a 300,000 tons eucalyptus line. So we at the end, we will be in going from 800,000 cubic tons to about 2 million tons of production at the Horcones complex. This is about a $2.1 billion investment. It's not really ready approved by the board. We just got the environmental approval. Now we have to start analyzing and updating our financial models and expectations for the future and design a financing to seek an approval from the board during the year. There's still a lot of work to do in terms of designing financing and also doing some feasibility analysis and some engineering in detail before the final approval of this board. Also, as you know, in Chile, we have a new government and there are some discussions about tax reform, deep tax reform in Chile, so we are going to wait to see what happens with that tax reform probably in the next 90 days before deciding on this new investment. Okay, that's what I had in my presentation. Now I would like to open to Q&A if you have any questions about what I presented in the slides. Thanks.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star and then 1 on your touchtone telephones. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star and then 2. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. One moment while we poll for questions. And our first question comes from Diego Miura from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, thanks for the call. Could you please provide more details on the impact of the Nuevo Aldea maintenance over your results, and also, I mean, the impact of the pre-operational expenses and costs of the Montes del Plata mill?
Okay, in terms of Nueva Aldea, as I told you, we had this normal maintenance, and when we were starting up, we had some problems with some pipes in the recovery boiler that we need to stop, and we lost about 70,000 tons of production that were not supposed to be lost, and that impact we haven't valued in terms, but of course we lost EBITDA. I mean, you have to imagine that. At this moment, probably the EBITDA margin of pulp probably is at about 30%, something like that. And for marginal production, it's probably higher than, and I think that, we could probably have lost probably more than $20 million in EBITDA because of that lost production. And also we have the normal stoppage of mills that were programmed for the last quarter that also reduced the normal EBITDA for that quarter. So basically, I would say that most of the change in EBITDA that you see from one quarter to the other is one explained by this loss of production in one day, and also by the normal programmed maintenance of 4 mills that were scheduled for the fourth quarter. So we had good prices, better prices than the third quarter. So we should have been able to do a good EBITDA on that quarter if it was not for the stoppage of Noraldea. In terms of Montes del Plata, I don't know if there's a lot of expenses being done because the mill hasn't started yet. So most of the expenses are capitalized, and we don't have any operational expenses, rather than the one that is normally done for the harvest of the forest. But not big impact in terms of losses consolidated from Montes del Plata.
Okay, thank you. Very helpful.
Our next question comes from Ron Dabina from Bank of Tokyo. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for your call. I would appreciate if you can give me an idea of your expected CapEx for 2014-2015, if possible. Also, the debt, as well as the net debt to EBITDA ratio you expect this year and the coming year. And finally, the expected EBITDA contribution from the Montes del Plata mill in 2014. Thank you.
Okay. In terms of CapEx, and here I'm talking about Arauco. I mean, Montes del Plata shouldn't have any CapEx this year. So we are talking here that probably the CapEx of Arauco should be, without considering the acquisition of Sierra Pine, which is $100 million, and let's say there will be $550 million this year. Year 2015, I think, should be more or less the same. We don't have any projects in the pipeline of construction, so we should be able to do another year of $500 million, which is basically normal maintenance plus small projects that amount to probably $100 million in small projects and $400 million in normal maintenance capex. So that should help our deleveraging process as we are able to generate free cash flow. In terms of leverage, we ended 2012 with a 3.8, considering Montes del Plata, which is equivalent to about 3.2 without considering Montes del Plata, if you compare it with the 3.1 that we ended in September. And I think that this year, depending on pricing, we should be able to lower a little bit the leverage, probably not in the same amount that we did in 2013, but I think we should be able to keep the deleveraging process of the company, because we have a restricted capex going on. We should have a decent EBITDA, and also Montes del Plata will start producing and generating EBITDA. In terms of projections of EBITDA generations, we don't have a definite number. I mean, it's not going to be a lot, because the company is going to be ramping up, starting, let's say, April, and you have a ramp-up process that could take up to 6 months. The first production are not always making a profit, and then you have to store it, ship it, and so the sales are lower than production. So I'm not expecting a big proportion of EBITDA, but at least we will have, especially in the second part of the year, we'll have EBITDA contribution that will help decrease the leverage of Montes del Plata. The amount is going to depend a lot of the pricing environment of hardwood, so I don't feel confident of giving you a number right now, but we shouldn't expect a lot coming because of the amount of sales that we'll be able to invoice. And also the pricing environment for the second half, that we don't know yet what it's going to be for short fiber.
Thank you. So this new line, that's not expected in 2014-2015. It's expected later than that. The CapEx.
No, a lot later. I mean, if you think that if we get approval at the end of this year, starting construction, that will take two to three years. So we are talking here about a line that will impact probably 2017-18.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Chelsea Konsko from TIAA CREF. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, I just have two questions. I was wondering if you could provide us a little more color on what was included in the other operating expenses this quarter, since it seems to be quite high even beyond the $10 million provision that you mentioned, and that seems to be a big factor in the EBITDA reduction as well. And also, do you have any committed credit facilities available?
Yes. Yes, I mean, the number, you say, yes, the one thing is the indemnification of MDA of the Valdivia mill, which is about $10 million. And then we have some small stuff, but not some fixed asset provisions for $8 million. Then we have some maintenance stoppage provisions for another $6 million. So some small things that amount to the number, which I think is it's about $30 million, something like that. So the lawsuit plus some fixed assets provisions that were done, about $8 million and then $6 million. I can send you a detail afterwards if you want.
Okay, thank you. That would be helpful.
And about the committed facility, yes, we have a $320 million committed facility that is outstanding and is not used.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one. Our next question comes from Alda Sanchez from Craycore Capital. Please go ahead with your question.
We had the same question regarding the provision for the Valdivia mill. Actually, part of it was answered in the prior one, so if you guys could send us the detail for the $50 million variance in other operating costs, we would very much appreciate it, because from our understanding, the provision is only $10 million. So where does the other 40 go? And then should we expect additional provisions from that Valdivia mill? Or is that a one-time thing of $10
million? That is a one thing. I mean, we reached an agreement with the Consejo de Defensa del Estado, and that was the final number. And that was recorded in the financial statements of about $10 million. So I will send you if you can send me an email with your... I can send you the detail of the variance of the $50 million from one year to the other. No problem for that.
And our final question comes from Philippe Gossens from Mitsubishi Securities. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Gianfranco. Actually, I have two questions for you, if I may, this morning. When I look at your debt maturity profile over the next couple of years, do you have any plans to refinance some of at least the bonds coming due in light of rising interest rates in the U.S. market? And then my second question is going to the Moody's negative outlook. If I recall correctly from when I was at Moody's, the biggest concern that the agency had with regard to the pulp sector in Latin America is obviously the expected imbalance between demand and supply as some of the new capacity comes online over the next couple of years. Is there anything else, because obviously that's outside of your control, but is there anything else that you can do to help them change the outlook back to stable? The outlook was actually changed, as you may recall, in March of last year when they took the last rating action. So we're kind of getting close to the time that they need to decide whether to stabilize the rating, which I would hope they would do, or they would have to downgrade the rating, which I hope they would not do, obviously. Any color would be much appreciated, Gianfranco.
Yes, first with the refinancing, yes, we probably will do some refinancing during the year to take advantage of the interest rate environment, and also because we always refinance our debt maturity well in advance. So I think we will do something in order to do the refinancing well ahead of the maturity that we have, especially in April 2015. We have a bond of $370 million. So I think during the year, probably during the first half, we will do something to refinance well ahead the maturities. So that's in our plans. And now regarding Moody's, I cannot speak with the for the rating agencies, of course, but their worries have been in the industry. I mean, as you said, the terms of the new supply coming to the markets and the demand. What we have told them and what they know is that in our case, the oversupply balance is basically in the short fiber spectrum. In long fiber, it's very well balanced, and that's why we have seen better prices in the long fiber. And in our case, we are basically long fiber company. As I said, 70% long fiber, 30% short fiber. But also, our pulp division is only 40% of sales at this moment. We have grown a lot in panels, and that has put pulp only at 40% of sales. So we're talking here that about a risk in the 30% of the 40%. Or let's say if we have Monte del Plata, it's probably 40% of the 40%. So we're not talking a big number, and the rest of the market, let's say the wood products market, is going to behave well. And we are quite confident with the long fiber market because we have good price environment, and if we have reductions, it will be from a high price. So I think they will realize that the shape of the company, the diversification of the company has changed, and also our numbers have changed. When we got the downgrade, our leverage was 5 times. So the numbers have been going down. We have shown that we can restrict capex when we need to do, and also our businesses are behaving well in the wood product side. So they probably will go in the coming month to review that outlook, and I hope that they will balance those things and they will move to stable, but it's their decision. But I think that the main worry, which is the imbalance of pulp, is more worried in poor players in pulp. We are basically a company that's very well balanced in wood products, in long fiber pulp production. We have energy production in Chile, so I think we are quite a different company.
That's very helpful, Giorgio Franco, the differentiation between long and short fiber, and then also the mix between pulp and panels. So very helpful for me here, and best of luck. Hopefully they conclude the review very quickly and the outcome will be a good one. Thanks.
Thanks.
And we do have an additional question from Andrew McCarthy from Ben Chile. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, Gianfranco. Thank you for the call. I just wanted to get a bit more color on how the potential tax reform in Chile may impact your decision on the investment in MAPA.
Yes. To give a summary for the ones that are not familiar with the tax reform, what the new government is trying to put into the parliament for voting is an increase in the tax, the income tax for companies from 20 to 25. They are offering a reduction for people from the for 40, which is the 40% on income for the high income, to move it to 35. They are also pushing for a tax reform for a system in Chile that is called the FUT, which is a way of companies to that they pay the 20% tax, but the share owners don't pay on the full income, the marginal tax of 40. They only pay for the dividends they receive, the 40%. What they want to change is that, to eliminate that, so the owners of the companies, every company in Chile, will pay the 40% or 35% if they reduce it, of the total income, not only the one that they receive in cash. And to compensate that, because most of the companies are saying that this is a mechanism that have helped companies in Chile to save and to invest, to promote investment, they're saying that they will offer an instant depreciation schedule for tax. So if you invest, let's say, $100 million on a mill in 1 year, you can deduct the whole $100 million that year, not in the normal depreciation scale for fixed assets. So, as you can imagine, there's a lot of changes here, starting from at which tax rate do you put in your free cash flow analysis? Do you put the 25, the 20, the 35? Because if you look at it from the shareholder perspective, what kind of depreciation you put to the assets? Instant, not normal. So I think it's quite difficult to evaluate a project this size with this kind of uncertainty. So, but the good thing here is that the tax reform is going to be presented to the parliament very soon. So we will have probably in the next 3 months, we will have more color on what's going to be the definite reform that's going to be pushed approved in the parliament.
Okay, thank you. Very helpful.
Okay.
And at this time, in showing no additional questions, I would like to turn the conference call back over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffolo for any closing remarks.
Okay, thanks all for hearing this conference call. We will have, as usual, in our next conference call for the numbers of the first quarter about, let's say, mid-May, and let's hope that we can be having a conference call at that time. And if you have any questions, as usual, just send us an email or call us here to the Investor Relations Department. We'll be happy to answer any doubt that you may have. Thank you, and bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's presentation. You may now disconnect your telephone lines. Please have a nice day.